Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hustle up to the line of scrimmage now. Here's Goff looking to his left and throwing that way. It is caught. Touchdown. Josh Reynolds. And the Rams strike first. 42-yard field goal attempt to get Chicago on the board. And he's got that one. 7-3. Foles loads up. Has Mooney deep. John Johnson with him step for step. Foles on the sneak, whistles.
Left a little bit early.
Full start. Offense number 69.
He might have done Matt Nagy a favor right there. I don't think they were going to get the first down.
Foles under pressure. Going to be taken down. Dropped by Leonard Floyd, the former Chicago Bear. Off his back foot, had a man wide open. Darnell Mooney was wide open. He could have run forever. And Foles couldn't get it to him. Fourth down. First and goal.
I bet they go to him again.
On the ground. There he is. Touchdown, Rams. Foles looking back of the end zone, and it's intercepted. Troy Hill tipped the ball, and Taylor Rapp on the interception. Worst possible scenario for the Bears after what was a wonderful drive. Goff to Gerald Everett, and he walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Pushing all the right buttons tonight is Sean McVay. Flip it to Patterson. Left side, and he won't get there. Foles under some pressure. Not going to get out of there. Drop back at the 12-yard line. Justin Hollins ends that series. Pressure. Foles throwing, and it's intercepted. Picked off on the sideline. It is Jalen Ramsey.
All right, so we can agree the Rams are not soft anymore, right? And the Bears are going to keep having to defend their now 5-2 record.
Yes.
We'll be answering some more questions.
I'm your dream, my industry. I'm your eyes while you're away. I'm your pain.
The questions are legitimate, whether they want to admit it or not, or any diehard Bear fan that just has their head buried in the sand gets upset with us or not. This offense is truly one of the worst in football. That's why we question
it. It's an imperfect team with an imperfect coach.
It's horrific.
With a coach that's still trying to learn on the job, still trying to figure out what this offense is about, doesn't know what the limitations of his offense are, which causes him problem as he moves forward with play calling and trying to get the right people on the field.
The Bears could bounce back this week against the Saints. Saints are beatable. They leave that dome. They've got this thing going on with Michael Thomas, whatever that is. He's probably not going to play. Right? I mean, they're a 4-point underdog, the Bears.
Whether
in the
it's a hamstring
line.
Or they're hamstrung by him, either way, that's the way it works.
Boy, it's unbelievable. The guy's like probably the best receiver in football, right? It's pretty crazy.
Listen, at some
they
point.
They still have some weapons
at
down
some
there,
point,
though.
You've got to be part of a team.
I know, you're.
At some point, you still have to be part of a team.
They still have some weapons down there. I mean, Kamara's playing great.
Absolutely.
You know, they're getting Traquan Smith involved a little bit more. So you still got Breeze, you know, as shaky as he's looked at times, he's been better the last couple of weeks. So they could bounce back, I suppose. But what are we really talking about here? You know, we want this offense to be real. Matt Nagy was brought in here to fix this offense. It is not fixed.
Well, it's been proven over the course of time that over the course of a season, you're not going to continue to fix an offense. At some point, the offense is what the offense is.
And that's what this looks to be, right. And it looks to be bad. And this is on Ryan Pace, and it's on Matt Nagy. These are organizational failings. Their offensive line is an abject failure.
It's a catastrophe.
And the notion that it was going to be fixed because you fired Harry Hiestand was laughable then. It's laughable now.
It's better because of Juan Castillo. That's what I was told.
We've made the point a few times that three of the five All-Pros last year,
First team All-Pro
left tackle was Ronnie Stanley. He was one of the two tackles. First team All-Pro guard was Quentin Nelson in Indy. First team All-Pro center was Zach Martin, who's been All-Pro many times in Dallas. Those three players were coached by Harry Hiestand at Notre Dame. Don't tell me Harry Hiestand was, well, is, or ever will be the problem.
That's the BS you were being sold by the head coach, Matt Nagy.
This is an organizational failing above Harry Hiestand. This is the coach and his scheme and his inability to figure out how to run the ball successfully.
And the general manager's,
and the general manager,
lack or unwillingness to understand exactly what kind of talent he has on the field.
And so there are great failings across the board here. 5-2, 2-5, 0-7, I don't, 7-1, 6-1. There are failings across the board with where this organization was supposed to be going when they made these changes.
What I caution everybody is, I don't swing on a scale from right to left from 100 to 0. You can't do it that way. The emotions will drive you crazy all the time. It's either absolutely great or it's absolutely ridiculous and it's awful, okay? Beyond the realm of comprehension. I like to operate on a 30-point meter between 65 and 35, okay? So as great as last week looked is how bad this week looks. And I won't say it's god-awful and it's absolutely terrible and they're never going to make the playoffs and this and this and this and that. I'm telling you that they had a bad game. They look like crap. Hopefully, going up this week against the New Orleans team, that's a different team with its own challenges, that the Bears will have a better effort and have a chance to win the game. And if they can do that and go to 6-2, I'm a little bit happier.
I think the Bears will make the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't operate at the 100 to 0. I can't do that.
No.
I operate as I'm less optimistic than I was before, but I still think this team is going to make the playoffs, and I still think they got a chance to make some noise. How, I don't know, but I still think they've got a chance to make noise because there's a lot of identical teams in this league.
That scares me. That comment I question a little bit more. I don't know how they make noise with that offense. I'm sorry. I don't. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, the defense is what's going to have to make the noise.
Yeah, but I mean,
the defense is going to have to put the offense in a situation where they can't fail.
You know, maybe I'm just not really remembering, but, and I'm also talking about maybe, you know, one of the three greatest defenses of the last 30 years.
A Rex Grossman-led team went to the Super Bowl.
I know. They didn't win. But, like, I'm trying to think of the Baltimore offense, and what was that, 2000?
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. Like, was the offense this bad? I feel like it wasn't. Was Jamal Lewis on that team?
Jamie Lewis could have been on that team.
I mean, like,
did they
do some things well as an offense? Because this offense does nothing well, not a single thing. So,
I think Eric Rett was gone at that point.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yes.
You know, like, you mentioned Rex Grossman. So I'm talking about some great historical defenses, like that early 2000s Baltimore team, the 06 Bears with a dominant Tommy Harris and Peanut and Brian and Lance. I mean, great team. Right?
Yes.
Tommy Harris was unbelievable that year.
Ken Johnson was good that year.
Ken Johnson was great. The Bears still did some things well on all. Like, you still had, like, Moose was pretty good, right? I mean, you still ran the ball. Thomas Jones, you still did a few things well. I feel like that Baltimore team might have done a few things well, as bad as Trent Dilfer was or as average as Trent Dilfer was. This, I'm telling you, folks, they're about the Jets offense.
They're bad offense.
Like, I don't know how you can be taken seriously when you're this.
They're a bad offense that gets streaky at times and gets hot at times, and they've been hot enough to get them to a 5-2 record.
Jeff's in Buffalo Grove on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff! Talk to us, Jeff.
Jeff, gotta go.
All right.
Going once, going twice. Jeff's gone.
No more bison.
Alec is in Chicago. What's up, Alec?
Alec!
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Just want to understand you. You mentioned San Francisco, and they're using, you know, a litany of running backs, and they got to find guys off the street, and we're not using Artavius Pierce or Lamar Miller or trying anybody. We're pretty close to the definition of insanity here, seeing Cordero Patterson go out there every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that's the best option. It's a good point, Alex.
It's like when he's back there, it's like red alert, red alert, red alert. We're going to use Patterson here.
I'm pretty sure Jeff Wilson was undrafted. Double-check me on that, boys. I think Jeff Wilson was undrafted. Yeah, you can find him.
How about the Robinson kid down in Jacksonville?
Oh, he was undrafted. He's at Illinois State, right?
Yeah. He had himself one hell of a week.
He had over 100 yards.
Yeah, a couple touchdowns, too.
Yes, he did. I think he had over 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Had a monster fantasy game. Absolutely. The Bears are, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, like, they're incapable of doing something like that, of finding guys like that, of at least trying or experimenting like that.
Yeah. Running backs are a dime a dozen, so you might as well go ahead and just flip them out.
I mean, is your best option?
It's not Montgomery's fault.
No,
it's not his fault.
Like, is your best option really the guy that's a converted wide receiver? Aren't you force feeding this a little bit too much now? Yeah, Bill Belichick was smart the way he used Cordarrelle Patterson a couple of years ago. When they said they're going to use Cordarrelle Patterson more as a running back, I think we all went, oh, that's probably a good idea. He's not really a wide receiver.
Right.
He can't play receiver, but he's skilled. So maybe you find a here and there out on the edge, something, some jet, whatever. I mean, like, okay, that's fine. Use him like Belichick used him. Is your only option really after David Montgomery to have Cordarrelle Patterson in the background? You're not even willing to take a look at Ryan Nall. You're not willing to take a look at Artavis Pierce. Just see. I don't. That's what I don't understand. And you, like Yurko said, it is red alert every single time. Those plays have very little chance of succeeding. They are not succeeding. And you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Again, the first two drives, Cordarrelle Patterson had three targets and a carry. He had three targets in the pass game and a carry. Demetrius Harris had a target. Those are your first two drives.
Yep.
What are you doing? Dante's in Minneapolis on ESPN 1000. Dante, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call, longtime listener. I normally don't call because you guys are speaking the truth, wonderful content on this airwaves. I love the last comment about the Bears because I'm looking at the schedule, guys, and I'm seeing five more wins out of the nine games. And so...
Yeah, I think you're right.
And you guys are talking about the Niners, right? You would ask that fan base a couple weekends ago, y'all wouldn't have been very happy about the Niners when they lost to the Dolphins and right. the Eagles back-to-back weekends.
Yep.
So, I get it. Believe me. I'm 45. I've watched every Bears game since 85. And so, I get it. But we're 5-2. I live in Minnesota. The Vikings are 1-6.
Yeah.
I get it. Y'all professionals. Y'all breaking everything. That's what y'all supposed to do. But just what if, like you said, what if we go to the Saints? We will beat the Saints. I think we're going to lose to the Titans. But I know we're going to beat the Vikings twice, the Lions twice, and the split with the Packers. So that's five wins. What if we get to the playoffs and win some fluky game, and the next thing we know, win the NFC Championship
that's right.
game?
That's right.
So I get it. I get it, fellas. Believe me, I love
with my
you guys
guy Dante.
With all my heart. We just got to look at some things in bigger perspective. Listen, one comment. That was before that game yesterday. I was saying to myself, I've never watched a blowout Bears game. Like, got our butts whooped, like literally, since kind of, you know, the last couple seasons. That was the first time that I literally saw us got our butts whooped.
Yep.
We normally lose and we're in games. And so that's just my perspective.
They're probably not that bad. Like I know what you're saying, Dante. Like what Yurko said, the Bears are making the playoffs. Listen, I don't disagree with that. They built themselves too good of a cushion.
Last year against Oakland, they got their asses whipped in London.
They did. Yes,
they did. That's when I questioned the defense and I said, "What in the world is going on here?"
They're going to make the playoffs. I would agree with that. It would take a pretty epic collapse. I think their defense is probably good enough, even though it has to play almost perfect week in and week out. My frustrations as a Bear fan and my questioning the legitimacy of this team as like a real threat in the NFC is based solely on this offense, guys. Again, and I double-checked. Yeah, Jamal Lewis and Priest Holmes were on the 2000 Ravens. I mean,
yes,
they did a few things well. Like the Bears in 06, Rex Grossman stunk. They did do a few things well. This offense does nothing well. I will come back and read the stats to you again that I read an hour ago.
Ooh, ouch.
And this is why I question how much of a legit threat they are. Not only am I questioning how much of a legitimate threat, it is what continues to frustrate me as a lifelong Bears fan. And it should frustrate every damn one of you. It should. The failings within this organization to properly surround these historically great defenses with an offense, to find and develop a quarterback, to find the right offensive coach. The failings over and over again should piss all of you off. You should all be angry. You shouldn't call here and say, well, you know, you could be the Vikings at 1-6. You should all be upset. That's why I'm upset, because I watch the same thing week in and week out, year in and year out. I watched Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes play for other teams. I watched Justin Herbert and go, man, did they find another one now?
After
Philip Rivers?
Yep.
I watched the Colts go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, and the Packers go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers use Ben Roethlisberger for 15 years, have three head coaches in 50 years. That's why I'm frustrated. You tell me I'm not supposed to be frustrated by that? I'm supposed to say, well, we could be the 1-6 Vikings? That's what way
I'm... 1-5, by the way.
1-5, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to say, well, we could be the 1-5 Vikings. I'm not supposed to be upset with what I see. I'll give you the stats again, too, to reiterate how putrid this team is offensively when we come back next.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hey, Viking Scott texted you. William Eggert on Twitter says, guys, the Vikings are 1-5. Stop. We won't be 1-6 until this weekend.
Somewhere Vimo up in Ely, Minnesota is screaming at the radio going, 1-5.
Sorry, I thought 1-5.
Matt Blair and Tommy Kramer are coming back to make something special
happen. Tommy Kramer. Here are those numbers. Again, folks, it's Carmen and Yurko. Remember, we're on Twitch. Watch us every day in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Since the start of 2019, it's 23 games now. Here are the Bears' offensive ranks across the National Football League. Remember, there are 32 teams in this league. Net yards per pass attempt, 30th.
Bad.
Yards per play, 31st.
Bad.
Passer rating, 28th.
Bad.
Rushing yards per attempt, 30th.
Bad.
First downs, 28th.
Bad.
Third down conversion percentage, 29th.
Bad.
Touchdowns, 28th.
Bad.
Points scored, 29th.
Bad.
Yards margin, 22nd. The only one that's halfway decent because their defense doesn't give up a whole
lot. And they gave a lot of yardage yesterday.
They did.
They only gave up 24 points yesterday. They scored 7 themselves.
Mm.
Your defense outscored your offense, and that's part of the problem.
And that's why I'm frustrated.
Yes.
It's
you're very frustrated.
It's not about, you know, like, oh, guys, they could be, you know, this team. Or what did you think of San Fran a couple of weeks ago? Does anybody really comparing Matt Nagy to Kyle Shanahan right now?
Carmen.
Let's stop the insanity. Kyle Shanahan knows how to... Kyle Shanahan does know how to call plays.
Yes.
There's a long track record.
McVay knows how to call plays.
Sean McVay knows how to call plays. We don't know that Matt Nagy does.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan was calling plays on a team that went to a Super Bowl. Granted, they went down their leg and they blew it.
Big stinkies. But
Kyle Shanahan was calling plays for a record-setting team. Kyle Shanahan had his team in the Super Bowl last year with the perfect quarterback, you know, with all kinds of running backs in and out of the lineup. Are we out of our minds?
We're receivers, injured receivers, please. Other guys still stepping up and making plays.
He just lost Deebo Samuel again.
Yes, he did.
You can't criticize anything that's happened to the Niners the way they've played this year because of all the injuries. They still go out and score points and win games because of Kyle Shanahan. You have that kind of faith in Matt Nagy?
No.
Based on what?
The answer is no.
Of course not. Of course not.
No.
Let's go to, where do you want to go, Yurk? Let's see. Let's go to Cortez in Lansing. What's up, Cortez?
How you guys doing there?
Good. How are you?
All right. Just a few little points here. I'm tired of beating this whole Cordell Patterson thing with a stick, but I have to go ahead and get my turn, too. The moment I saw him back there, I knew that the play was dead because you just took a 4th-and-1 and turned it into a 4th-and-4. What are we averaging, like 2 yards per carry? So now instead of just handing the ball to, Akeem Hicks, put him in at fullback. Do something other than hand the ball to Patterson because you know everyone knows that he's going to get the ball. And he's not a north and south runner. He's going to head to the sidelines. Play got blown up.
What?
How about in the red zone? The commentator said, Jimmy Graham's going to the sideline.
Yeah, I know. We don't
Why
get that.
Why is Jimmy Graham going to the sideline?
We don't get that either.
You throw the ball to the short receiver in double coverage. At the end of the half, the Rams trying to give us the ball back. Hey. We got to fight to win. We got to scrap. Why do you let them run the clock out? Why not put a punt returner back there? It's not against the law to run a punt back. It might just happen.
The way Ginn was playing yesterday, I think he thought it was, but maybe you get a block or something. Cortez, you're right. We've touched on those points.
I thought the bonus was that if Ted Ginn doesn't touch the ball, he's got a special bonus in his contract.
That's what I thought.
And Jimmy Graham doesn't need to drag across the field Throw him out, wide stick, body in front of a guy, get him the ball, force feed him, and let him catch it in front of the guy. Don't drag him across. It takes too long for him to come across.
Right.
And you've done that. They know you're doing it. They're paying extra attention.
In fairness, on the fourth and one play, I don't like it necessarily.
Yeah,
I don't
Javon Wims missed the block.
Yurko did say that's a successful play. If Wims does his job, that play's successful. Now,
it's got a chance at being successful.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't like those types of plays for a couple reasons. I don't really like toss plays on fourth and short.
Yeah.
I don't like tosses at the short side of the field on fourth and short. But Yurko did make the point. And if you go back and watch, Yurko's right. Javon Wims gets blown up.
He
completely whiffed.
Whiffed on
and not
guy.
Even blown up. He just whiffed.
Also, the short side of the field in college means something. The short side in the field in the NFL is not substantial if you take a look at
it. It's still a couple yards.
Right, but not substantial.
All right.
In college football, short side of the field, it's huge.
Sure.
It's immense.
It's much bigger.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. I still don't like it. I don't know. I just didn't like it when it happened. I was like, come on.
No, I understand. If it's successful, it's great.
Yeah.
Listen, if the first play they ran to Robert Woods on a reverse play, that little handoff that they like to run out of motion, is the fumble that Eddie Jackson returns for a touchdown, how many more times do you think you're going to see that play that day?
I don't think you would.
You're not. That's like the eighth time I saw that play yesterday.
Eddie the Mailman's in Hoffman Estates. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you?
Man, you two are on the ball about if Matt's not here to call the plays, why is he here?
Of course.
I heard Cap earlier talking about relinquishing play calling. He was brought here to run an offense.
Yeah.
Clearly he's not doing a good job at it. But I just want to say thank you guys. You guys are ahead of your peers on this one. I say if they miss out on the playoffs, blow it up. Fire Pace, fire Nagy, trade anything you can get for anybody, really, and just start fresh. Because it's just so... You guys ever see Narcos? You know when Pablo Escobar is, like, all depressed?
Yeah.
And he's just sitting on that swing? That's Bears fans right now trying to figure out what happened last night. We're just alone, sitting with our thoughts.
We're Pablo Escobar at the end of Narcos on the swing. That's not good. Eddie, thanks, buddy. Keep working hard. Eddie's a mailman.
Yeah, not good.
No, that ain't good. And I don't know what it would take for people to get fired. And if they miss the playoffs, maybe. I think they're going to make it. Yurko thinks they're going to make it.
I do.
I think we all think they're going to make it. Really, if you get to 9, you're probably going to make it, right?
All the way to the bottom. Second one from the bottom, Carm.
All right. Who's that, Rob?
Robbie.
Rob in North Carolina. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Carm, Yurko, class of 89. Yeah, you. Hey,
all right.
Hey,
nice.
All right.
Right. Communications major. Just with you, buddy. Hey, back to what Carm had said, too, this isn't a knee-jerk reaction. This has been Nagy's thing for 3 years. The defense, as we all know, has masked a lot of these. I don't think they've masked the problems, but they've covered it up, given us an opportunity to be 500 or better. And the biggest concern, I think, what we all have is the evaluation of talent, but more importantly, the Geppetto, who's running the offense, because I agree with Carmen. There's other teams that have had some of these flaws. You know, Nick Folt, Trubisky. Trubisky was better. Remember what they said with running the hurry-up offense. There's a reason for that, because our damn other offense, you can't go anywhere because it takes too long to develop with that offensive line. But Nagy keeps doing the same thing
over and over.
He's got a body of work now that goes on for years. Anyways, guys, just want to get your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. We appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, Waddle and Yurko have described and documented where they see the failings of this offense. That, like, he's just not scheming guys open anymore. Once the league kind of figured out, it stopped. He thinks he's going to keep doing the same old, and he's not been successful
doing
it. Every big play the Bears make down the field is some sort of circus play. It's never a contested catch.
It's always a contested catch. Guy running 3 yards clear.
You know,
had those plays, and they were overthrown.
That's right, yeah. But, I mean, Yurk's been saying it since 18.
Yeah.
Why no double moves? Waddle always says, why is it like three receivers on the same side of the field are running stick routes? Where are the concepts that are going to free guys?
It's supposed to be you got one, you go to two, he's breaking free, then three. You know, one, two, three, and it's supposed to sequentially time out. One's not there, I can go to two, he's breaking, there it is, then go to three, and he's breaking. If not, I hit a running back coming out of the back.
I mean, these are our guys, our experts, trying to they can't figure it out. Hold on, what does Scott want? Scott wants to tell me to stop, but go ahead, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing? So, Carm, you just read all these woeful offensive stats correctly.
Yeah.
Why was everyone on the Bears last night then? Yurk liked them.
Yeah, with the six.
I like them getting the six. Yeah, I didn't like them. I didn't say they were going to win.
I had the under.
I don't think any of us said they were going to win.
Scotty, I had the under.
And shame on me because I jumped on it. And
7-6.
It just was,
I jumped on.
Sorry, Scotty.
Scotty, no. I'm going to tell everybody listening right now. You guys want to talk about a feel sad song?
Do it when we come back.
Wait, you got to listen to this, when we come back.
The guy that should really be mad is Yurko, because the Bears have, can I say the number? I mean, you'll do it when we come back.
Yeah.
The Bears have screwed Yurko out of so much money the last 2 years, or the last two and a half years.
We'll say that someone
It's unbelievable.
Back.
Like, wait till you hear this when we come back. Scotty, we're sorry for giving out Bears plus a six. I do normally like them in that spot when they're getting that many points. I don't know if I'm going to like it this week. They're a home dog again. The Bears are a dog again.
Plus 170 on the money line. Plus 170.
Plus 170 right now on the money line? I can't bet him, Merck.
It'll
you
go
bet
to
him 190. On the
money line? I think I might
this
week.
It'll go to plus 190, trust me.
I might take him getting a field goal maybe, but can you really bet him to win the way they're playing with this offense right now?
Yurko will tell you what happened to him last night, too. He should really be irate today. That's next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
It's going to be just short, about a half a yard, fourth and a half yard, and the Bears offense staying on the field at their own 19 and a half. What about this call?
It's a big time.
Well, you guys are excited about it.
No, not with this offensive line.
They're laughing at us.
The whole world.
Kermit and Yurko, the Monday Night Crew. I thought they did a good job last night. I thought Levy, Riddick, and Greasy were really good. We're going to play the Greasy stuff again here in a minute about Foles, what he had. Maybe Foles told him off the record, but he brought it to the broadcast anyway about some of the things he's been telling Nagy. Just doesn't have time. Plays aren't going to work. We'll play the response from both Nagy and Foles postgame, too. But we will play that coming up. Kevin Fishbane tweeted, since the start of 19, Yurko, Bears rushing numbers, third or fourth down, 2 yards or less to go. Cordarrelle Patterson, 6 carries, 2 yards, 2 first downs. David Montgomery, 15 carries, 35 yards, 12 first downs. Maybe you want to go to David Montgomery.
I think you should go to Montgomery.
Tell everybody what happened to you last night.
Real quick, I participated in a pool at a local establishment in Northwest Indiana where 50 squares are taken, 50 squares are open. So if the open square gets hit, it carries over to the next week.
By the way, I've never even heard that until you told me about that, and that's a brilliant idea.
I participate in another one that only fills 20 squares.
I've never heard that. It's 80 a great idea.
Yeah, it's a carryover pool. It's wonderful. That. This week's points totals were 3K and 6K for halftime and the points total. Remember how I said that?
Points total.
Points total.
Yeah.
So
the 6,000 points. What do you think we're talking about?
I got the thing on my phone yesterday, which is the card, and the numbers were filled out. I had 4 and 3, 3 for the Bears.
You take it every time.
4 for the for the LA Rams. So 4-3. Actually, it's good numbers.
Good numbers.
There's a possibility and a chance.
Good numbers.
The Bears kick that field goal. They get stuck on that field goal, so it's on 3 the whole day.
Whole day.
0-3 gets hit at halftime. That gentleman won 3,000 points. It's 24-3 in the fourth quarter. Right, third down.
That's what Johnny's thinking.
I'm starting feeling a little frisky, right? 4-3 for 6,000 points, right? A little frisky. Out of nowhere, Robert Woods gets the ball, gets tackled, fumbles, and Eddie Jackson picks it up and returns for a touchdown. My guy, the Grobar, the Gravedigger, was right next to me, already celebrating and buying shots. He mushed me. He mushed me for 6,000 points. 2 years ago in the same pool, the Bears are driving against the Miami Dolphins, right? 10,000 points this time. They're going to kick the field goal. The Johnny Handsome in the 28-28 game has got Bears 1, Dolphins 8.
Oh,
the made field goal by one Parkey would go ahead and put 10K points into my ledgers, right? A miss. He had 2 chances actually to kick the field goal. He missed. It was brutal. One time they fumbled. It was awful.
They've cost you
16,000 points over the course of the last 3 seasons.
16,000 points they've cost you.
But, it's like the pizza that goes by, and you get a waft and a smell of it. It's never really your pizza, but you had a little taste of it, and that taste quickly went away.
Eddie Jackson's had 2 pick sixes returned, called back on penalties. This one, Yurko was hoping for a penalty. No penalty. Eddie Jackson's touchdown finally cashes.
You're going to lose anyway.
I'm like, you're going to lose anyway. Poor good kid.
At least make somebody happy,
This is Greasy late in the game, about 4 minutes to go in the game. This is Brian Greasy on the Monday night broadcast.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, sometimes play calls come in
and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Yeah, and is Brian Griese like expressing that because he sort of fell from Nick Foles, like, I'm not being heard enough, and I'm telling him we can't do some of these things, but he's calling him anyway. That was the first thing asked of the head coach after the game. Think about the way that game went, but that made headlines. Griese said it. It was the first question Nagy had to face when he met the media after the game.
Hey, Matt, on the ESPN broadcast, Brian Griese relayed a conversation he had with Nick Foles, where Nick apparently told him, this is a quote from the broadcast, "Sometimes play calls come in and I know I don't have time to execute that play call." Has he communicated that to you? And did you feel like he had enough time today to execute the play calls you called?
We've never had that conversation, but explain to me what that comment meant, what it was that he said.
His exact comment was, quote, "Sometimes play calls come in." This is just what Brian Griese said on the broadcast. I don't know if Nick said this, but this is what he said Nick relayed to him. "Sometimes play calls come in, and I don't know that I have the time to execute that play call, and I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back there. And so that's something they have to work out." That's just what was said on the broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to, whenever you talk to Nick, just kind of see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said, he'll probably explain what he meant by that.
Did you feel like today, though, that the play calls you were getting in, Nick did have enough time to execute them?
I don't know. I got to watch the tape and see. I know there's a couple here or there where, you're in scat protection certain times, and they might make you hot here or there, but I have no idea. You know, I have to go back and see it exactly what the deal is. I know as far as the play, if you're saying the play's getting in to be able to call the play, there's no issue there. I don't know what the next part was.
No, that's not what he's saying. The one time they did dial up a double move, the rookie left one of the best corners in the NFL in his dust. I mean, the move by Darnell Mooney was beautiful. Foles couldn't get it there because he overthrew him because he had to get rid of the ball so quick.
So
what did you see from what? Now, remember, Brandon Staley, who's the new – Wade Phillips got fired. And Sean McVay, last year, Sean McVay hired Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was the Bears linebackers coach in 17 and in 18, 1 year under Vic, too. So very familiar with the Bears and with Matt Nagy going back to 18.
If I'm the defense coordinator for the Rams, I'm anticipating they're going to slide toward or pay extra attention toward Aaron Donald. So if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do something away from Aaron Donald. When they went empty on that specific play, they went empty. So the center's paying attention to the right side because that's where Aaron Donald is. They're bringing four from the front and one off the back. The backside then only has two with no running back, and they brought a blitz off that corner, and it was one guy was free.
They sent a
third player. So they had 3-on-2 on the right side because the center was paying attention to where Aaron Donald was. They had 2-on-3 on the left side.
So what is
you can assume as a defensive coordinator that when they pay attention, they're going to pay attention to Aaron Donald.
Right.
So you can go ahead and scheme something off that backside, and they did.
What should an offense do there then, Yurko? I mean, because they're looking, right? Does the offensive line know, hey, we're short over here. We got 2-on-3.
At that point, it's 1-of-2. Either the quarterback's going to see it because he's in the shotgun formation, and their guy cheated up and made it look like he might come. At that point, he's got to redirect the protection.
Okay.
Or redirect your center, LLL. Take a look over here. There's something squirrely going on.
Okay.
And then he'd have to kick over, and they'd have to pass that off between the guard and the center, maybe to have a chance to go ahead and pick up that blitzer.
So a good play call by Brandon Staley and not a good adjustment by the Bears. Is kind of what it sounds
well,
like?
Well, it's a good play call, and it's a tough adjustment. And, if he throws the ball a little bit shorter, I believe that's completed pass.
Well, he's running a long time, too.
And it's coming out hot, But that play was a 7-8 yard stutter.
Right.
And then a go.
Right.
And then, yes, you're right. He's still running.
Oh, man.
He's running this morning.
He's running to the end zone.
He's running this morning.
Yeah. With his speed, he might be running in the end zone.
I'm a play caller. I'm anticipating my guys are doing their jobs. When I design a play, I'm assuming that my offensive line is going to do their job. And when they don't do their job, it doesn't matter what I call it. There's no chance at success.
Mm. Let's say.
But there's also a dose of reality. You have to know what your people are capable of.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's say hi to Northside John on ESPN 1000. Hey, John.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
What's up? Morning.
First of all, Nagy's just a complete bozo and a loss of a fool. It's just getting repetitive. And the second thing I really want to get to, and this is for you, Mr. Yurkovich, can we please stop referring to this defense as an elite defense? They seem to, they can't get off the field on third and long. They go into this goofy prevent mode, which accomplishes nothing. They're giving up chunks left and right on third downs once again. And it's the same thing. This offense couldn't score in a brothel right now.
You hit that on the head, my friend.
But when all the smoke clears and everything is said and done, you'll take a look at this defense at the end of the year, and you won't be able to point to this defense and say this is the problem.
No.
And it's not because your offense is so woeful, because statistically you're going to end up in the top five in the NFL in defense.
And I don't know what the Bears, specifically John, maybe he has an issue with the Bears' third down defense on third and long. Yeah. The Bears have the second best third down percentage in the NFL on defense, so let's be careful. Yeah. Second best.
That's what I'm saying.
The Bears get off the field.
You have a tendency to overreact sometimes. The penalties bother me. The stuff you can control.
Yeah, the penalties, yes.
The unsportsmanlike conducts, the offsides if you've got offsides, and the roughing the quarterback, you can control that.
Yes,
you need to control that.
Akeem Hicks jumping on a pile. Now, that doesn't, you're
it
half the distance.
It didn't punish you, right.
You're half the distance, right. But you're on the goal line. But come on, that's stupid.
Right.
What is Akeem Hicks doing?
It didn't punish you, dumb. So.
All right, we'll grab more calls. We're going to take a few more calls as we can here before noon, and then Greeny takes over. Then Waddle and Sylvie will be with you from 2 to 6. Black and Abdallah after that. We got the World Series tonight. It's just after 7 o'clock. It could end tonight. The trophy will be in the building. If the Dodgers win, they're the champs. If the Rays win, we get a Game 7 tomorrow. That'll be fun. So they turn to Blake Snell tonight. So we're wrapped up in football, but we still got the World Series Game 6 later tonight. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Let's try to breeze through some more Bears calls before we're out. Waddle and Sylvie return to take your calls at 2. Greeny's coming up at noon here. Jay's in Dallas. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Great, how are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call. We keep hearing we're 5-2, let's just rely on our defense, and who knows what can happen in the playoffs. Well, you know, Eddie Jackson looked like he had a serious injury last night. I mean, if you look around the league, injuries happen, and that's the reality. And we can't afford to just say, let's just relax and rely on our defense and not look at the pin on the offense. I mean, you're playing – the best teams like the Rams. You score 3 points. The defense can't do any better than what they did. What is the expectation from our defense? If they're holding a team like the Rams at 10 points in the first half and you come out with 3 points, you're not winning playoff games like that. And so I'm really at a point where it's kind of like I'm not off the wagon, but I'm like driving this old car. I know it's gonna die out at some point. I'm not ready to just give it up. I'm just going to keep driving it until it just runs out, and then I'll get something new. I mean, what do we have to look forward to if we know that that injuries may happen? We know our offense is not going to get any better. What's the point of just saying, oh, well, let's just give it a shot and see what we can do in the playoffs?
I hear you, Jay. And that's kind of why I'm frustrated. It's hard for me to believe that they're a real serious contender, even with their record, because the offense is so bad. I've made the point now a couple times today. Even like if you want to talk about the 06 Bears with a great defense or the 2000 Ravens, like they did do some things well on offense. Yeah, Trent Dilfer wasn't very good, but they had Jamal Lewis and they had Priest Holmes. And, you know, the Bears did a few things well under Lovey. Who was OC? Why can't I think of who OC was in 06? Why am I blanking?
Lovey and Greg Landry. No, not Landry.
Was Ron Turner the OC in 06? Why can't I remember?
I think it was Ron Turner.
Who was the OC? It was Ron Turner, right, Merck? Yeah, I think it was Ron.
Was it Mike Tice?
You know, Thomas Jones had a good year, and you still had Moose.
Benson that year, too.
He was a rookie, I think, wasn't he?
Yes.
Then I started thinking, well, what about Denver a few years ago in 15 when Peyton Manning was done? That was all that defense. Even that offense, I checked, Yerk, even that offense that year was 16th. So you were half.
Yeah, you're
That's
average.
What Yerk and I always said.
We only asked for
average.
Can
you be average?
We just want average.
I can't remember an offense being this bad that could actually contend and compete in playoff games. I don't care how good your defense is. It just seems very unlikely, and that's what's so frustrating.
Matthew's in Lakeview. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. A couple questions. First, do we even think that Nagy would give up the play calling?
No.
It just doesn't seem like he's the type of guy to relinquish that sort of power. I don't know if it's the right move or not. But
I don't think he can. I don't think he will. And I, quite frankly, Matthew, I don't think he can. If I'm Matt Nagy, I go down getting fired. I got to be honest with you. You were brought here to do this job. I don't think he can afford to give
he's
up gonna the play
calling.
He's
going to do it his
way. You know?
Whether anybody likes it or not, he's gonna go down with the ship. And that's with him doing the play calling.
Gotcha. And then secondly, I guess as the as an offensive coordinator but not a play caller, what's Bill Lazor, what's like his job? Because, you know, I mean, they fire Helfrich, they bring in Lazor, and it doesn't seem like anything's changed. So, just out of curiosity, what does his job entail? So I'll hang up and listen.
And that's probably better for Yurko because he played for a guy like Holmgren who, you know, was calling the plays, Andy Reid for most of his career, the great McVay. Like, what does the OC then do? Like
what he helps during the week, he helps implement whatever offense they're going to have.
Okay.
So while Mike is looking over at the offense, he's also paying attention to the defense, sitting and consulting with Ray Rhodes on what they plan on doing, how they're going to attack. He'll offer any thoughts he has on, you know, how he'd go about the business of it, too. Maybe you should think about this, or like the one time he didn't want Michael Irvin to beat us.
Right.
So we created a 288 defense, and Michael Irvin still had like 8 catches for 127 yards and a touchdown. And Holmgren walked into our meeting and said, just so I understand, he goes, this is double Michael Irvin, 288. This is double. All right, let's see what happens. He goes, why is he catching the ball if we doubled him? And then he made his point. He walked out. He left us alone.
Yeah, right.
So I think he made the point to let everybody know that I'm holding Ray Rhodes accountable for this. And Ray was like, you know, sitting at the front with a big dip in his mouth. And he's like, and I said dip.
You said dip, right?
Dip with a P. With a big dip in his mouth. And he's like, what? Nah. And so he got chewed out, which meant the rest of us are getting chewed out by the head coach, which means we're going to have a miserable week of practice because we let Michael Irvin catch a bunch of balls. So what you do is you coordinate. You help coordinate the offense. You just don't get to call the plays like you're going to, but you're not.
Even those 2006 Bears, Yurko, were 15th in the NFL in offense that year.
Average.
Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson scored a dozen touchdowns that year. Yeah. Thomas Jones rushed for over 1,200 yards. The league was different back then. I mean, you know, they both averaged over 4 yards a carry. Like, the Bears did do a few things well, you know. Yeah, Musa Muhammad had 5 touchdowns. I mean,
Olsen on that team too, or no? Was Olsen
no, Greg,
on.
I think, came the next year. Okay. He was a rookie in 07. This offense doesn't do anything well. It is... Now, this isn't hyperbole. I read everybody the stats. They are literally
terrible.
One of the worst, one of the 3 or 5 worst offenses in football, and they have been for a year and a half.
We have a terrible offense.
I don't know how you can be taken seriously with an offense like this. I can't see it.
We the 2020 Bears offense, we're shooting for mediocrity.
Maybe they have time to fix it. You've got, they've played 7 games.
Shooting for mediocrity.
You got 9 games left. Maybe I can be a believer by the end of the year if you fix it. I don't know. Thank you to everybody who listened and called and participated today. We'll be back tomorrow. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvie at 2, and then Black and Abdallah at 6, and then the World Series is tonight. Great job by our producers. Wonderful sound from J.R. Strauss today. Good job, J.R. and Randy Merkin. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Have a great day. Greeny's next.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!